Isn't that the billion-dollar question? How do you monetize film content that runs anywhere from an average short could be 10 or 12 minutes to a film that's 120 minutes? How are you going to get them to just throw some money down and watch that film? Maybe rate it, review it, talk about it. You know, you got to get people interacting. It is a challenge. It's a little bit different than music. It's not the same. That's been our challenge. When we launched our company as filmmakers, we knew hands down the filmmakers totally embraced this. And yet, the first people we sort of talked to were the bankers and consumers. And they were like, oh my God, I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Filmmakers will be so happy. So we go and talk to filmmakers and they're like, okay, so wait, it's non-exclusive. I get 70%. I get to keep my rights.
Yes.
And you're going to put it up on like 10 different revenue streams for me. And if Hollywood comes calling, you're going to tell them about me. And I'm like, uh-huh. And they're just like, okay, so what's the catch? Because that's how independent filmmakers are.
What are you most proud of about your company, IndieFlix?
When we launched, the only other competition out there was CustomFlix, which had just been acquired by Amazon. And they had $750,000 in their technology going, and a publicity and marketing budget that you can't even discuss. And we just thought, okay, this is the David and Goliath scenario. And we're just gonna not think about them, don't even look at what they're doing, and just focus on what we want to do, what we set out to do, and let's just do it.
So it's really the challenge and the opportunity of a new medium arising, which is really the internet.
We didn't realize it was gonna be there in such a big way.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, we just went, you know, that's why we started with DVD delivery and we launched with like 36 films. Once the article came out, we were launched, we started to get filmmakers signing up every day. And to this day, we still have 5 to 10 filmmakers that list their films every day on IndieFlix from all over the world. About 50% of them actually download the agreement, sign it, send it in with their master and elements. And the other half we have to contact and say, remember to send it in. Mm-hmm. And then they do, but people are people. We speak at film festivals. I spoke at Sundance, South by Southwest. So that's been great press for us. And then we have a lot of articles written about us. The New York Times article, well, New York Times has actually covered us several times, which has helped us spread the word. We launched with very little money, you know, just to get us up and running. And it sort of has taken off on its own, like mm-hmm. a vine that mm-hmm. just grows and we can't stop it.
And how is Twitter playing into the success of your venture?
Well, I'm a Twitter-holic. I got it. Well, I have to say that Twitter is, it's a social networking tool that allows you to talk about your life, the weather, whatever you want, including your company. And what I love about Twitter, which is why I will promote it, is because there's no porn on it, at least not that I have found. And I don't know, it kind of makes you feel good. Well, I'm 45 and I don't really, like, I'm not into the teenage thing about getting millions of friends and tons of comments on my MySpace, but mm-hmm. I do have a MySpace mm-hmm. to promote the company. Because I want to be able to have people to have access to me as a founder uh-huh. of the company and the CEO. I want to be able to answer the questions or talk to them if they want to, because it's under my, you know, on my terms with MySpace or
right.
Facebook. It's like a way of connecting without committing. It's like 144 characters. You can only say like 2 sentences. In any way you want and share, but there's no obligations there. And it's mostly technology people, entertainment people, and business people. So here you have personal access, direct access to anybody and everyone. But you can like see what they're saying. It's interesting. And all these social networking tools that I have to do, I have to do it myself because I got to know what the pulse is. Because independent films don't just cater to one demographic. Mm. It's not like men 40 to 75. It's kids, because they're looking for the next cool original thing, like Blair Witch Project.
Right.
And then you've got the women. And women are like the biggest demographic on Netflix, because they control the budget in the household and what the kids are going to watch,
sure.
what the family is going to be entertained with in the home. But what they like about indie flicks or independent film or art or books or fashion is that they are not over the hill. Don't chalk them off. Don't put them out to pasture. Women 40 and up are still pretty hip and cool. And so they're a huge demographic for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the senior citizens, the people who go to the film societies and film festivals in the smaller towns. And they're very cultured. And they like art and books and painting, you know, like music. And they love independent film. And they don't want to watch old World War II movies because they lived it. They don't want to see depression movies because they've lived it. They want to see stuff while they're 75 and 80, and they're diehard, passionate, you know, audience members. They want to see like some edgy sex, but not porn. There's a movie that was submitted to us by a filmmaker, a young filmmaker, who it's based on a book by Georges Bataille. Kind of rocked France in the 70s. And it's basically about human beings and the dark side and then the healthy side.
Everybody has a dark side.
Everybody has a dark side. And we all visit it once in a while. We all look at it. We all think about it. We all acknowledge it in other people. It's exploited on TV. So he made a film with little vignettes and scenarios exploring the dark side of human beings and human nature. And there's a lot of stuff in there.
So was this film used for the fulfillment of sexual gratification? If it was...
It wasn't.
If it was...
That's a very good point.
If it was...
It's an excellent point, which no one has put that in
the
hat yet.
Then it becomes porn.
So what was the intention of the director? That is a really good point.
I haven't seen the film, so I would pause at that question just to say what porn is for me, is if it's used for sexual gratification.
It's that, if that's the intention of the director.
Their favorite
most
scene
sites
or something.
Sell porn, sell a subscription, and you go a few minutes into each piece. Well, I actually nixed it in the beginning when we vetted the film. And then everybody started watching it. Half the people on the staff said, it's not porn. Porn people would hate it. The porn audience would hate it. The art folks, everyone felt that half would accept and the other half would say, ugh, that's disgusting, that's porn. So, but there are a lot of Hollywood films that have made it to the big screen that, you know, fall into that suit. I think...
But I mean, doesn't indie film have a little bit more discretion than a major Hollywood release or something like that?
I said this last night,
the intent of the director, don't you think?
I think it's a huge point, actually. It's a very well-made point. Independent film, in my opinion, takes liberties. They do not follow a standard. They don't operate within the box, set boundaries that the average Hollywood film has to follow. Otherwise, it's considered a hard sell, and it's a totally different animal. But independent film takes license. You run a risk with it. It's intense.
How much conceivably do you think some of your artists who are on your channel can actually make?
Honestly, the sky's the limit. If someone had a film, okay, first of all, we have one film called The Corporal's Boots. It's a 12-minute short.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on an art exhibit where all the boots and all the dog tags of all of the soldiers that have been lost in this Iraqi war are lined up in an airplane hangar, and it travels around the country. And they have an exhibition for 1 or 2 days. And the sales spike on that film.
Mm-hmm.
The shipping and handling charges exceed the cost of the film, which is $2.95. And that film sells incredibly well. We're almost at 1,000 units.
Hmm.
And that's DVD. So if we had streaming, where people could just click a button and pay $1.50 for it, or 99 cents, they would, I mean, honestly, you could hit hundreds of thousands of people. All of our content is up on different sites that, you know, collectively reach anywhere from 125 to 250 million users globally that can access this content.
And so they're going to be able to then just click and download pretty soon.
Or click and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Have you set your price point?
Oh, yeah. We actually allow the filmmaker to make the price point. We make suggested prices that sell the best.
Mm-hmm.
So for on a download, it would be like a 99 cent would be a rental for 30 days. If you wanted to download it onto your computer, you could watch it for 30 days. We have other content that's, as soon as you sign with us, we start putting it up on other sites.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be on TiVo, Amazon, Unboxed, Views, Juiced, IndieFlix, Stage Six. Suddenly your film would be making 7 or 8 different revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more you promote it as a filmmaker, like a band who goes on tour to promote their CD, and you take 70% after cost. And the cost is just the delivery. So for instance, on a download or a stream, you pay, it's bandwidth costs that that revenue is going to pay for. So if someone pays $3 for something, say $1 goes to the technology to deliver it, $2 comes to IndieFlix, and the filmmaker gets 70% of that.
Great.
Every month.
Great. Are you other than this film that you just spoke about, are you having any other breakout hits? Are you seeing trends?
Well, we have one.
Well,
obviously, horror documentary with a cause is very strong, and comedy. does very well. Dramas seem to do well too, as well as sci-fi and horror, mm-hmm. Even in the independent world. We have one film called Making Arrangements, which is a mockumentary on the floral industry. It's a full feature. She didn't get distribution. She made it about 5 or 6 years ago. We put it on the side. It was one of the early films on. It has been our top seller, one of our top sellers, because it sells a lot. And it ended up actually backing into the theaters in a different way, where it got a bit of a cult following. And it's about the floral industry. And what it does is it plays all floral conventions around the country. And then it plays in a theater, like a 1,000-seat theater, and they pack the house. And then people, they sell them, you know, the filmmaker will actually buy like really a couple hundred from us and sell them on the spot, but then she'll also tell them to go to IndieFlix and buy it, and they can buy it. And soon they'll be able to download it and stream it.
And is that the only revenue stream that you're looking at as a co-founder of this company?
Right now, yeah. I mean, in fact, what I feel that we've done is we've kind of covered all the bases. Mm-hmm. We've got download to own and mm-hmm. burn. Mm-hmm. We have streaming. We have DVD delivery. And we will promote your film on 7 to 10 different sites, as well as DVD delivery on our own.
Are you making enough yourself to live on this?
No, it's a startup. Are you kidding?
Well, I want to know. I firstly want to know, I mean.
As a filmmaker, you know, we're used to living lean and mean. And I don't want to put up any, like, false representation, but as a startup and the CEO and the co-founder of a company that has a very strong mission and is dedicated to really fulfilling that mission, because I am a filmmaker, I feel that it's important because it helps all filmmakers share their messages. Mm-hmm. We're not just filmmakers trying to make money like Batman or Spider-Man telling, you know, hitting the box office hit. We are artists making an expression.
Here you are, the startup of a company that shows a lot of promise. And as entrepreneurial minds go, you know, you're taking a risk there. But at the same time, too, you've got to live. And, you know, you're hoping for revenue streams that are going to be able to monetize this so that then you get employees and the company takes off. That is the ultimate goal.
That is it.
So have you sought any financing through a round A?
Oh, we are just about to close our first round of funding.
Okay, great.
We had seed money that was our own. Mm-hmm. For the last 2.5, almost 3 years, and now we're like an escrow on the first round.
Congratulations.
Which is really good, which is going to help us. IndieFlix will be much more visible.
Are you at liberty to say how much?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is that a...
I mean, I'll give you an example. PodTech got $5 million in round A funding in April of 2006, you know?
I think IndieFlix is hoping for $5 million in funding. Mm-hmm. It might be more, it might be less.
I think we're right in the ballpark, and that's what we're closing on.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. It is exciting. Actually had never really, I mean, you know,
can we ask
to the
who
startup
your partners
world,
are? Or?
I would say that they are relatively well-known names and angels in Seattle and Silicon Valley.
Okay. Wonderful. Great to hear. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, you know why? Because it's a hot space. Mm-hmm. And while we are not technology advanced, you know, IndieFlix is not a proprietary type technology company. We are a content company. We're a storefront. We represent filmmakers and sell them, and we connect with users, and we help users to discover mm-hmm. new content.
Well, and so in terms of discovering new content, are you going to a lot of the festivals then to make yourself known to the artists?
We've always gone to festivals. Fortunately, we know all the festival people because we were filmmakers and mm-hmm. got to know everybody.
But there's a new crew of filmmakers every year that you know, burst onto the scene or come
but
into
I
the...
But I will say that it is rare that I would even take the time of a new filmmaker that's got a film in a festival right there and ask them about that film. Because even I, as a filmmaker, and someone from IndieFlix or a company like that came to me and said, put your film on our site, whatever. I'm going to say, are you kidding me? Even though I know better, I'm going to say, I am waiting for Hollywood to come knocking. I want to be on the big screen at the Lowe's or the, you know, all those famous theaters where everyone's going to go in. It's going to be playing 4 times a day or mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have this huge theatrical. And then I'm going to go to video and I'm going to make all this money and I'm going to get a first look deal with different studios. And now, you know, the thing is, I think if you polled all these filmmakers, you'd find that 1% will say, oh yeah, I made some money, I had a good deal. The rest will say, I got nothing. I got nothing.
It cost me a lot of money.
I had to deliver. I got a horrible deal. They just screwed me. Then maybe after 5 years, I saw a tiny little trickle from home video.
Wow.
Or pay TV.
Wow.
So, I mean, and that's for, even Napoleon Dynamite did not seem any money until late in the home video.
Wow.
But it was pay television that really gave them their money. Otherwise, they saw nothing.
Who are you finding as the best outlets to, you know, distribute?
To promote other companies?
Yes. To promote films.
Well, CineQuest does a very good job, mm-hmm. but you have to have screened or been accepted into their festival. Jaman is a really great site and really interesting, and they do mostly world films, but they are now accepting independent films. So they are a competitor of ours, except that if you list on Jaman, you will only be on Jaman. Whereas if you list on IndieFlix, you can be on Juiced, Views, whatever, and probably soon, Jaman. So in other words, you wouldn't have to fill out all the metadata and sending in the master and all this stuff. You just put it with us and we'll put it there for you. And collect the money, make sure you get paid. The problem is that just like any business in America, there's a hot space, companies start opening their doors, but a lot of them are two guys in a basement who really aren't what they say. There is no digital rights management on your content. They're not giving you true accounting. They're not paying you monthly. So you have to be careful who you actually sign up with. A lot of people put a lot of money into publicity and some interesting technology, but they don't have the administration to back it up and to follow through with that whole, the legal end, the collecting and distribution, the digital rights management.
Sure.
There's a whole other aspect to it, which is not fun and time consuming, but you gotta do that part of it.
Mm.
You know, the companies we work with, we have solid deals with them where they have to pay, they have to account.
So let's, again, just give me a ballpark figure for me. If I'm the best-selling artist right now on IndieFlix, what am I taking home?
Well, if you figure a couple thousand units of DVDs.
At 70-30.
And if you were a feature, if you were to make, say, 3,000, if you sold 3,000 units in the last 18 months as a feature, you'd bring home $3 or $4 for that per unit. So that would be 3,000 times $4, $12,000. No, we take 30%, the filmmaker makes 70%.
Okay, so 12,000 you take, you know, $3,500.
Right.
Yeah.
But we also, you've not put out a penny.
Right. So that's pretty good. So an artist is taken home.
There's nothing better than that. Mm-hmm. And we really literally created something that we wished existed for us. And the only way we could make it fly was if it was on a volume scale. I will say we had a little hiccup in our business plan, and that was we had hoped that filmmakers would still be so passionate about their films that they would be out there promoting them. Like a band, promoting a CD.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. And it's not because they're bad people. It's because they're human beings. They made this film 3 years ago.
Right.
They've moved on. They're doing other things. And while they're still passionate about it and they love it and it represents a certain time in their life, they don't have the time to put into it like they used to when they were making it.
Mm.
And so we had to adjust and account for the fact that they're not going to put in 100% to promote the film. They're going to put in a quarter of their percent to promote the film with reminders. Because human beings by nature can procrastinate. It's like, well, I haven't done anything with this far, and it's free, and it's non-exclusive, and I just put it up there. I'll just see what happens without trying.
It's interesting because, in a sense, it kind of goes on to show that film is a lot about marketing and promotion. And there's so much to it for you to see revenue from it, which I would think is the goal of any artist / business person. And you've got to at least consider them both with the same weight.
Absolutely.
If you're an artist without one.
I still feel, and I know this sounds, I mean, this is kind of what I sort of always trying to figure out as the CEO and co-founder of IndieFlix and a filmmaker. You or I or anyone can put their film up on every site available. And delivered Mag, PC, DVD, stream, download to own, download to burn, pay-per-view, whatever.
But how are you doing it? Are you doing
a
player?
You're not going to sell anymore.
Right.
No, I mean,
right.
Ours has a player that you're going to watch it. It's quick to download, it's a piece of cake, and you watch it.
Are you syndicating that player, though, as a way
to,
you
know? No, we're not. No, but our download to burn, we might end up syndicating. Mm-hmm. And we actually are looking at that. And with a, in a way that it would, like if you downloaded the player and then got someone else to download it, you would actually get money for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it, you know, goes out to everyone.
Sure.
just makes the connection quicker. It makes
exactly.
everyone move faster.
Exactly.
For us, I, you know, that's not what we're focused on right now, the player, because that's really more technology. We're really more about content and filmmakers and marketing and branding. The reason that we're different from all the other sites is that, like, Custom Flicks, Amazon, Jamin, anyone, put your film up there, free, not free, give up some rights, not rights, whatever. It's, you're still just putting it up on the site with a bunch of other movies. And no one knows who's in your film. They don't know any of the actors. They've never heard of you as a director. But you know what? It's a really great story. It actually won some awards, and it's a really good film. And it's got a great, strong message. How are you going to get anyone to buy that? How are you going to get anyone to care or look at it? You're not. So the thing is that you can make a little bit of noise on a small scale, but IndieFlix goes in and takes it and starts to research and figure out where that film might have some appeal or some recognition, just beg a question. We try to present it in that way, because we're not, like, saying, we don't have to just go, Julia Robertson, you know, Harrison Ford, here, watch it. We're saying, okay, this is a story that is going to make you think. Whatever we say, even filmmakers who say, oh, I made a film 4 years ago which won a whole bunch of awards, but now I'm so embarrassed, I don't want to put it up there. And I always say, well, why not? Oh, because I don't want anyone to see that. I mean, now, I mean, my God, I don't even want to watch it. It's like, that's why you should put it up. And you should say, I'm so embarrassed about this. I hate it now, but I got to respect the people who worked so hard on it for free, the actors who studied really hard in their craft to do this. And while I've made my mistakes, and it did shape who I am today and made the piece that I've now made that I'm really happy about and I want you to see. You know, look how far I've come as a director and the actors and whatever. And talk about it. This is a real thing that you present. And people will, some people will watch that. Whereas that film could have just sat on a shelf and no
Absolutely.
One would have known.
Absolutely.
So we just feel that every story has an audience and that you should be watching movies and not looking for them.
Your final thoughts then on your company and what it is like as a business startup.
Well, business startup, well, I love it and it's exciting and I'm learning so much, and the more I learn, the less I know. So the world's getting bigger in that way. But on another level, I feel really grateful and fortunate to be doing what I'm doing, because not only does it give me great satisfaction, but like as Whoopi Goldberg said, who's on our advisory board, she said, you know, movies are the most important medium, and they tell stories and they bring the world closer together. And maybe something like IndieFlix, one film only even that made it out there on a huge scale, brought the world closer together. It's a good thing. There's no downside in that way. Filmmakers have the opportunity to make money. There's no tight window to do it, and it doesn't have to cost money. So in that sense, I feel like I was sort of, I don't know, chosen, but it's like, you know what, I feel honored to be in the position I'm in to share the message and get it out there. I don't feel like it was my idea. I think it was just the way things were going anyway. And you know what, if we were honest people who got to be the sort of portal to all of that for people, then great. Filmmakers can get their stuff out there and be seen and heard, and audience members can find something different, unique, and original to appreciate. And it doesn't have to cost them an arm and a leg, and they don't have to, you know, kill themselves to do it. It's easy. So in that sense, I'm very satisfied with what I do. And I'll do it as long as I feel like it's right. And when my time's done, I'll move on to education.
Sheila Andreen, CEO and co-founder of IndieFlix. It's a pleasure having you on the podcast. Come
Thank
back anytime.
Thank you, Matt.
The next year, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.